Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you have come together to listen on the radio for another Bible study. I'm grateful for that. Before we begin our study today, I wanted to remind you of the Warfield Boulevard Vacation Bible School that is coming up June the 2nd through June the 6th. We are going to be talking about the meekness of Moses, that great leader who led the Israelites out of Egypt. We're going to be learning from different portions of his life. We have classes for all ages, including the adults. We have an adult class, so come and be a part of that and bring your children. We have classes for them as well. On Monday evening, June the 2nd, we will be studying the meekness of Moses in learning, Tuesday night in submission, Wednesday night in meeting the challenge, Thursday night in confronting evil, and Friday night in punishment. Each evening is at 7 p.m. So Monday, June the 2nd through Friday, June the 6th, every evening at 7 p.m., studying the meekness of Moses. We would love to have you come. Please come and join us at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We would love to have you for our Vacation Bible School. Last week on the radio program, we were talking about the great tragedy of being lost in sin and not being able to go to heaven. It indeed is a great tragedy. I would encourage you to listen to that program. We post all of our recordings on our website, wbcoc.org, under the heading Let the Bible Speak. You can get all of our radio programs. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that lesson, the great tragedy of being lost. And friend, if you're lost in sin, let me help you through the gospel to be saved. And so I want to follow up with that thought with one more lesson on that particular matter of being lost in sin. And on the program this morning, I want to answer the question, who cares if my soul is lost? Who cares if my soul is lost? A lot of times we can find ourselves in situations where we're in a problem and we think maybe that nobody cares about the problem that I'm engaged in. That might happen at school, or it might happen at work, it might happen in a marriage, it might happen in someone's personal life, and they're hurting inside, they have a problem inside, and they just don't think anybody knows or cares. That happens all the time. And people can get to the point where they end their life because it is so bad, they just think nobody knows or cares. And it's a serious situation. And I want to begin the program this morning by looking at Psalm 142, a small psalm that is attributed to David. And in Psalm 142 in verse 1, he writes, I cry with my voice unto Jehovah. With my voice unto Jehovah do I make supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I show before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou knewest my path in the way wherein I walk. Have they hidden a snare for me? Look on my right hand and see, for there is no man that knows me. Refuge has failed me. No man cares for my soul. And he goes on to talk about how that he cries unto the Lord for help. What a sad situation, Psalm 142 and verse 4, no man cares for my soul. A person can slump so low in their thinking that God is the only one who can care for them and help them. So I want to talk this morning about the question, who cares if my soul is lost? It's sad to think that no one cares for my soul. Many people have been led to commit great sins because they felt no one cared. Others have ended their life. But we always need to realize that someone does know and someone does care, and that is God. And so I want to talk this morning about different individuals who really care for you, friend, if you're lost. And I want to begin with God. I know that God cares for your soul because He's provided a plan of salvation that includes you and me and all mankind. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, God spoke through Ezekiel, "As we live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" This is God pleading with Old Testament Israel, even after they've gone into Babylonian captivity, to come back to him. God cared about them and wanted them to turn around and keep from dying spiritually. He wanted them to live. God cares. The well-known John 3:16. Many people know that verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God is willing and loving. And that includes the whole world, everyone, even those who have committed the vilest of sins. It doesn't matter who you are. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you if you will contact that in baptism, Romans 6, 3 through 5. He cares for you. If he didn't, he would not have sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Not some men, not most men, but all men." And so he has provided a gospel that went into all the world so that everybody has a chance to hear it. And if you are hearing me this morning, you're hearing a portion of that gospel message. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. And you could add into that 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where Peter writes that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing or willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God cares if you're lost. And his plan to save mankind was not just some afterthought. It was not just some makeshift plan thrown together at the last minute when he realized that people were sinning. No. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." This is a plan that God made prior to even creating the universe. He could foreknow and see the sin of man without affecting their free will. And he could see when man chooses to sin, "I want a plan to save mankind." And it's not on an individual basis where he chose some to be saved and some to be lost, but he chose the realm in advance where that salvation would occur, and that is in him, in Christ. And we have to be in him, and later in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. And we know that that is the one baptism later in chapter 4 and verse 5. The one baptism. When Paul was there in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, he baptized some into Christ. And that's how you contact the blood of Christ. So, before the foundation of the world. In the same book, which is a great book of Ephesians about the New Testament church, we find Paul writes in chapter 3 and verse 10 that might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a plan that goes back to the days of just the eternity of God, when there is no time in existence. So it's a plan that was made before God made all things. God cares if my soul is lost. Another person who cares if my soul is lost is Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood for our sins, and he was willing to do that. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to come from heaven and become in the nature of a man, in the likeness of man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, he did not selfishly hold on to his position in heaven, but was willing to leave that, to come and walk on the earth and subject himself to so much wrong. And Paul says, though he was rich, 2 Corinthians 8, he became poor, not monetarily, but giving up the grandeur of heaven to come to the earth, so that we might become rich spiritually. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes, but God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, there's the blood again, we've got to contact the blood in baptism, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. Not only did God love the world to send his son, but Christ was willing to come. And his coming proved that he's the Son of God, and his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood gives us that plan of salvation. And then he invites us. He cares enough to invite us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with sin, with the burden of sin, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. We have a job to do, and learn of me. We've got to learn the gospel and obey it. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and he shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest from the burden of sin by coming to Jesus, learning his gospel, and obeying it. He stands at the door of our heart, knocking and inviting. Jesus shows his care. And even when he was in this world toward the end of his life, the last week of his life before going to the cross, he cared for the rebellious city of Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. He tried just in the days before he died to get rebellious Israelites to come and obey him. And he then went to the cross. Yes, Jesus cares. And friends, there is no greater love, he said, and even John writes the same thing in 1 John 3, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus cares. But not only God and Jesus, but the Holy Spirit cares. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or an it or an object. He is a person of the Godhead. He's divine like God and Jesus is. And he's responsible for revealing the truth to the apostles and New Testament prophets so that that message could be revealed and recorded for all mankind. He cares to take the mind of God the Father and reveal it to the apostles. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely given. God wants to freely give a revelation. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. The Holy Spirit gives the words. This is verbal inspiration. All Scripture is inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. And men did not simply give their own words, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:19 and 20. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would come and guide the apostles into all the truth. 16:13. Not only did the Holy Spirit guide the apostles into all the truth, but through that truth, he calls mankind. He convicts and he calls man from their sin. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The Holy Spirit, through the revealed message of the New Testament, invites you, friends, to come. And it's a message that is without flaw. It is a perfect message. It is a message that has been, by God's providence, maintained all the way down through life. We have many ancient manuscripts that we have to copy from. Some 5,000 New Testament manuscripts, portions of them. The Holy Spirit made it clear that we are to know God's word and will. But the Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, is a person. And when we take the New Testament message and we ignore it, or we refuse to obey it, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption." He has feelings just like we do. And he's grieved when we do not obey. Here is a message that he has revealed, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. And he's grieved by that. Just like your parents are grieved when you don't do what they would like you to do. Just like others are grieved, a spouse or somebody else is grieved when you don't do what they would like for you to do. They hurt. And the Holy Spirit hurts. Let's not resist him and reject him. But you know, there are others who care. Do you know the angels in heaven care about your soul? Maybe we don't think about that. We read of the angels in heaven rejoicing in the presence of God over one sinner that repents. I know that because that's what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 15, one reason why he ate with sinners is not to condone their sin, but to spend time with them and teaching them. And he gives three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And when one sinner repents, there is rejoicing in heaven. Luke 15:10. "Even so I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." Angels care. Angels care about your soul. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation, those who are Christians. Hebrews 1:14. They are invested in God's providence. They carry out his plan. In the New Testament times, they were a part of doing God's will, even doing miraculous things. Those kinds of things have passed away. But my point is, angels were a part, an intricate part of speaking to people, releasing Peter from prison, most likely in Acts chapter 12, and appearing to Paul and different things like that. You'll read that in the book of Acts, where angels are very active in God's plan. Because of that, they would also be interested in a person's soul. And of course, they will be coming with Jesus when he comes again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 2 Thessalonians 1:7 and 9. Angels have had and continue to have a great and tremendous impact on the souls of men. They care about you. We don't have a guardian angel. The scripture doesn't teach that. But they are very much alive and well and doing God's word and will. And they care about you. And when you obey the gospel, they will rejoice. There are other people who care about your soul, friend. Do you know that all good, faithful Christians care about your soul? Do you know, you may not realize it, but there are Christians who pray that the lost in Clarksville and Montgomery County and even beyond will obey the gospel. Do you know that there are faithful Christians praying for you that you would obey the gospel? Paul was someone who cared about his fellow Jews who were lost in sin. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 2, Paul says, "I have great sorrow and unceasing pain in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were anathema or accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake." He wanted them to be saved. And in chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, "My heart's desire and supplication to God," or prayer, "is for them that they may be saved." What a great heart that is found in the Apostle Paul. Other great Christians today have that same great heart, and they are praying. They're praying for others. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, even those who had become Christians and who were having problems, maybe some of them had slumped back into sin, in 2 Corinthians 11, 28, he said, out of all these different persecutions he experienced, he said, "And besides this, the care of all the churches." Friends, there are faithful Christians that pray that the lost world would be saved and that lost Christians would be saved. You don't know that they're doing it, but they're doing it. And God will hear their prayers. And you need to know that they're doing that because they care about you. They really want you to be saved. One reason why we have this radio program is to give you an opportunity to be saved. One reason we have multiple services, and I mentioned earlier about the Vacation Bible School and weekly Bible studies. Why? Because we care. We care about the salvation of each and every one of you. And we pray that you'll come and obey the gospel. In addition to that, and like that, there's another person I'd like to talk about who cares about you, and that is departed loved ones care whether or not you are saved or lost. Departed loved ones that may or may not be in your family, but departed Christians and faithful of all time. In Hebrews chapter 12, Paul had been talking about faithful men and women in the Old Testament times, and he describes them in chapter 12 as a great cloud of witnesses. They are in paradise awaiting heaven, and they are wanting and hoping that these Christians will continue to be faithful. They've already lived faithfully and died faithfully, and they're hoping that you will do the same. And so there's that group. There's also people, maybe even related to you, that when they died in a lost state, they are now hoping that you will be different from them. One example that I have of this is in Luke chapter 16. When the rich man died, and he was lost when he died, and he went to torment. In Luke 16, we find in verse 27, the rich man who's lost in torment says to Abraham, "I pray therefore, Father, that you would send him," that is Lazarus, "to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them that they also come not into this place of torment. He didn't want them to be in the same place that he was in. Now, Abraham goes on to say, that's not what's going to happen. Somebody is not going to come back from the dead. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the written, revealed Word of God. Today, it's the New Testament Gospel of Christ. God's not going to send somebody back from the dead. But notice that this person cares about you, and you could have a family member who has died in a lost state, and maybe they're crying out just like this rich man was. I wish somebody could tell my living family members who are lost to be saved so that they don't come to this place. Think about it, friends. I believe even lost people don't want us to be lost. This is a great lesson that comes from this Luke 16 teaching. They're still conscious, they're still awake, they're still living in the Hadean realm, and they don't want you to come there. Think about that. They care about you. Obey the gospel while you can. Well, one last person that I want to talk about that cares for your soul, and that is me. I care about you. I care about your soul. I want you to be saved. I come on week after week, and I plead, and I encourage, and I take the Word of God, and I care about your soul. I don't want you to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. I don't want you to hear that you would enter into eternal destruction, the place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, 31 and following. I want you to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." I want you to strive to enter in. I want you to obey the gospel. And I don't want you to hear Luke 13, 24 and following, "I know you not." I don't want you to hear that. What a terrible thought, but true. So, I want you to be saved. Friends, the person who does not care is the devil. The devil doesn't care if you're lost, but all these others care. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the angels and all good faithful of all time, departed loved ones, and myself. It's sad to be lost forever. It's sad to end up in the torment of fire. Please believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, and strive to live faithfully each and every day. If I can help, please let's get together. There are so many people who care about your soul. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.